But I trust you guys have had a good week. Just to kind of go in with Jesse. No, we've been here for, well, I don't know, 8 or 9 years now, and we love you folks, love ministering here, and any way that we can pitch in and help and teach and serve, you know, that we want to raise, we want to have a culture of where we all do that. So we're thankful to be here, and by God's grace, we'll be here for another 8 or 9 years. You know, it seems like the years are just kind of flipping away here, and I had somebody tell me the other day, man, you're old. So, great, hey, it's all good, I'm good with that, so. But I trust you guys have had a good week this week. And I just want to take a quick moment and plug a couple of things real quick before I get started. So on the very back table, the black table in the back, there is a clear, you could maybe call it a candy dish. Maybe you could call it an old candle that has been cleaned out. It's a glass dish. And attached to it is a red heart. And it says, I think it says Love Honduras. Is that what it says, Carrie? That the red tag? I forget exactly. Okay, something along those lines of Love Honduras, Honduras support, or what have you. That is for this right here. Run down here, forgot to grab mine. But a few of you have asked me, hey, what do I do with these? That's what that clear dish is for back there. So we're going to keep that open and available the next few weeks. But if you're interested in helping a student get there, what you do is just fill it out, whatever you want to, whatever you'd like to do. Fold it up a few times. I think probably one will get it to fit in there. If you want to make it smaller, do whatever you need to do. But that's what that dish is for in the way back. So be mindful of that on your way out and over the next couple of weeks. Last thing is we're trying to be even more intentional with our public church Facebook page. Just trying to post songs, articles, what have you, over throughout the week and at different points in time throughout the week. So if you are on Facebook, raise your hand. Most of us. Wow, that's a good chunk of you. All right, now, if you are on Facebook and you already like our church page, raise your hand. So you are already like our church page. All right, so there's most of you. All right, if you do not like our church page, can you slip your hand up? A few of you have? A few of you guys? All right, now, here's your guys' responsibility now. If you do it now within the next minute, totally good. If you want to wait until afterwards, that's totally fine too. Just jump on Facebook, type in United Baptist Church in the search. You'll see that there'll be a list of things to do. You'll see our church with the U, and you can like us right then and there. That way, it just kind of gives us some more likes. That way, hopefully, as you're on throughout the week, that you kind of know what's going on, things of that nature. But like our page. Very good. I already see some action up front. Excellent. So, and with that, on Fridays, usually on Fridays, Jesse and I are trying to do Facebook Lives, where we're trying to meet in here, and the last few weeks we've met in here, and it's been cold, because no sense turning the heat on for just a few minutes, but we're just trying to give a brief rundown of kind of what has happened, what will be happening, things to look forward to, so just kind of keep in mind what that looks like for you. In regards to ministry, just got a few announcements there. But then, you know, even if there's a way to, we don't do these a whole often. I don't even do these in my own personal time. But there's a way to figure out who's watching. You know, they'll drop names, and if for some reason we're on for a few more minutes than we would anticipate, if you think that something needs clarified, or if you have a question, by all means, please do that. We'd love to have some interaction with that. So if, you know, it's at all point in times, afternoon, early evening. Sometimes it's a little later than usual. But just be on the lookout for those. Those are kind of the things that we want to try to highlight and try to make important, I guess you could say. Does that sound right? Okay. Yes, we want to share that with our community. Because I had somebody at work at the hospital tell me, came up to me this week and said, hey, I saw you on Facebook, and I'm thinking, all right, she's probably friends with my wife, you know, and I was like, well, what was the context? And she said, you were on a Facebook Live with your church, you and the other pastor. I said, oh, okay, that's great. I said, how did you see that? And she's like, well, somebody shared that, and it came across the page. I said, she's like, you know what? I don't really go to church, but man, that's a fantastic way to minister to people. And I said, well, by all means, please come. Now, she's not here today, which I can say. You know, I can say that freely, but at least one person noticed, and it began thinking in their head. So we're thankful that at least we can have a little way to minister, and just in that way. So just be mindful of that. And those are my only two quick plug-ins today. Let's pray, and then we'll start our time this morning. Father, we love you. We're thankful for today, Lord. I pray that you would bless our time as we conclude our core values series. Lord, I pray that your hand of blessing would just be upon the next several minutes. Lord, help us to walk away. with your Spirit, working on us and changing us. And Lord, we'll give you all the honor and praise, and it's in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. All right, we're going to be in the book of Philippians chapter 2 this morning, and I think Tony in the back, Tony, you can actually leave the core values up there for a quick moment before we flip over to Philippians. But we're going to be in Philippians 2, so if you want to turn there, you can do that, you can get there. And as Pastor Jesse mentioned, today is my job is to try to tie everything back together. So last week he concluded with the families / connections sermon, which by far is the shortest message in this sermon series. So if you have not had the chance to listen to that, it's only 25 or 26 minutes. I listened to that on Friday while I was rocking the baby to sleep, and she stayed awake too, so she didn't fall asleep during your message. But that is the shortest message of the series is last week's. So today is my job is again to blend everything. All right. So I know that he went through this, but Bible, we want to be a church that focuses on the Bible or God's word, prayer, equipping, gospel, and connection or family. And there's a few ways that I hope that we can kind of be thinking about that. And, you know, Bible was 6 or 7 weeks ago. It's, in our world, that's a long time ago, and we may be fuzzy on some of the details. So I trust that, this sermon today will be a launching pad for us as UBC so that we can strive and to work for having a healthy church environment, because that's what we want. And we know that being healthy is important, right? I think we would all say that. You know, we want health in our own self and our families, and we do not like to become sick. Now, question, how many of you broke down this year and got the flu shot? Few of you, not as many as I thought. So again, for the last 5 or 6 years, I have been forced to get the flu shot with my position at the hospital here in town, and they have said if you don't get a flu shot, you are fired. So I said, okay, I guess I will go ahead and get the flu shot. And this year, it's only 10% effective. Did you know that? Did you hear that on the news? Only 10% effective. So we had a meeting, and I was complaining to my boss. I said, this is ridiculous, where they make us give this flu shot, and it's only 10% effective. And I'm having to go into rooms, you know, just about every day with gloves on and a mask on, and I'm breathing my own hot air in as I'm, you know, talking with these people, and it's no good as they're sick, and here I am getting the flu shot. So, but at any rate, our only advice, and since I'm not a nurse or physician in any way, the only advice that I was told is wash your hands. And again, you probably have been told that, but wash your hands. So be mindful. Wash your hands. Stay healthy. Stay healthy. So with the health in our mind, and we want to have, again, a healthy church. We want to have our community out here to look in and say, you know, there's something mightily different about that place. Who's this Jesus person? Who's this God person that they're talking about? That's why we have our core values sermon series, to promote this vision to you guys, and so that it'll bleed out through us and to our community that we serve. So we can say all the right things, and we can do all the right things as well. But, if we're not seeking God's guidance and blessing and prayer, you know, we're doing all that hard work in vain. It means nothing. It means absolutely nothing. So we have to have God's help. We have to strive for godly success in regards to our core values. So first and foremost, we need to seek God. Seek God first. And guess what? If we seek God and we're intentional with that, God will bless his work. It's not our work, it's God's work. So there's nothing that you or I or that we as a collective whole can do anything on our own strength. It just doesn't work like that. You know, we can try. But when we do, it'll fail. We will fail. And it'll fail miserably. And we don't want that. We don't want that at all. So we want to keep focused on Christ and focused on our core values, because that's who we want to be in Jesus. So we need to be mindful of that. You know, kind of shifting gears just a little bit as well, but having a healthy church is where everyone here works together for the sake of Jesus and the church, putting aside our own interests, our own desires, and becomes a unified front for the sake of Jesus and the gospel and the kingdom. That's a healthy church. So working together and putting these core values into operation is key. It's key in our own personal life. It's key to the corporate life of the church. It's very important to the health of the church. So our passage in Philippians today speaks to this concept and offers encouragement to us as the believer in Jesus to hold on to. So Tony, you can transfer over and we'll be there in just a minute. So first and foremost this morning, again, if you call yourself a believer in Jesus, you know, you would affirm that Jesus paid your sin and punishment on the cross and then defeated death by rising again on the third day. You know, hopefully that situation and scenario is very real to you, and that's something that you can be excited and passionate about this morning, about what Jesus did for you in your life. And that is an act of worship to God. Secondly, this morning, by God's grace, you know, we want our church to have the teamwork mentality so that our core values that we've gone through over the last 6-7 weeks can become very real, and that God's richest blessings will become here at this church, be poured down over our church and again into our community that we are attempting to serve. That's what we want. That's what we strive for. And by God's grace, that'll happen. So I'm going to say that in this room here this morning, we will have 100% participation and an affirmative answer to my next statement, because I think it's fair and accurate that all of us in here have been on some kind of team, right? All of us have been on some kind of team. You know, whether it's the obvious answer is kind of a sports team of some kind. You know, many of us have done something where we're on a sports team. If you say, you know what, I don't like sports, it's not my thing. All right, so then some of you men and ladies have been in the military. Man, I can't think of another more spot occupation, career, mentality than having teamwork of that in the military, right? All right, so if you're in the military, you're on a team. If you've ever been on a committee or served on some sort of leadership group or some sort of idea, you know, group of people that is trying to pull off an event or plan something for something, you are part of a team. If your job requires you to interact with people in some fashion, guess what? You are on a team. You know, perhaps that's with your company, with other companies. There's a lot of moving pieces there. You are on a team. So if you're still saying, no, 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 never done any of that, you know, we're running out of options here. But, perhaps you've played some sort of game with your family, your kids, your grandkids, what have you, and you're on their team, right? And the object is that you would work together for the sake of winning, success, whatever you want to put on there. That's the idea of a team. So unless you are living in a cave, you will know that the Winter Olympics are on TV probably right now. So as of this time, Sunday morning, February 18th, 11:21 a.m., I have not seen 1 second of the Winter Olympics that's been on TV. Not 1 second. And for me, I could really care less. It's something that doesn't interest me at all. But if we think of the idea of teamwork and working together and competitions, man, some of those group events are require a lot of teamwork, right? And you're probably thinking, well, how do you know? You don't watch the Olympics. I've seen them in the past before, all right? It just doesn't interest me. So when I'm thinking of the Winter Olympics, I'm thinking hockey, right? So again, I don't like hockey, not my thing at all. I know nothing about hockey, but you know, it's a team sport. Man, if you're not in kind of full, you know, cooperation with your teammates, it could be a total disaster. But hockey is on there. I would probably even say even more along the lines of that in the Winter Olympics is some of the skating, the team skating, the ice dancing, you know, that kind of stuff. Again, really not my thing. But when we're talking about teamwork and working together, man, if it's not there, it's very noticeable, right? And the announcers on the television are like, oh, look at this couple. They totally blew that. Have they even ever been practiced before in their lives, right? It's very noticeable. So we want to make sure as a church that we are full of unity and teamwork for the sake of the gospel. Because, you know, when we're not on the same page, man, it can be clear and utter disaster. Clear and utter disaster. So again, back to the big picture of teamwork. So whether you're on sports or work committee or a team member of some kind, you know, perhaps you know somebody that has just gone rogue at some point and totally did their own thing, right? Because they know better, they have their own selfish intentions in mind, and there's a good chance that whatever they did not work out well, right? So as believers this morning, again, we're called to a higher calling. It's far greater than we could ever achieve by our own strength. It just doesn't work that way. So our core values are rooted in Scripture, and it's an excellent focal point for us as UBC. So Philippians chapter 2, we're finally there. You know, this passage here will help us close this 6-7 week series this morning, and today we're only going to go through the first 4 or 5 verses. And I'll go ahead and read. You can follow along on the screen. You can follow along on the in the Pew Bible ahead of you, whatever you'd like. And we'll go from there. So Philippians chapter 2, and I'll read straight through the first four verses, I believe, if my memory serves me correct for my notes. So God's word says this. So if there is any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord, and of one mind. Do nothing from rivalry or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. Philippians chapter 2. So this morning, you know, we don't have time to look through the whole chapter. That would be a bit much this morning. But what jumps out here is that Paul is writing to the Philippian church. And he is encouraging them to live a life filled with humble service. To live humbly. So I was recently telling the Students United group, and it was probably on a Wednesday night as we were meeting, that as they continue to gain their skills and their abilities, that they would really hone in on them and use them for God's glory. But then secondly, to remain humble. To remain humble and not be puffed up with pride. So as we think about that aspect, you know, we probably all know someone, and hopefully that person isn't you that I'm describing, but they have the biggest, they have the best, they're the greatest, they're the smartest. You know, when they were in kindergarten, they were doing Algebra 2. You guys know who I'm talking about, right? Somebody like that. So as we think about our own core values, you know, we have to be humble. You know, we cannot be puffed up with pride, because if we're full of pride, especially when we're thinking about our core values that were just up there, there's no motivation, there's no urgency, there's nothing to strive for, because guess what? We think we have it all figured out, but we don't, but we don't. So church this morning, you know I don't have it all figured out by any means, and I know that speaking for you, I'm going to go ahead and do that, you don't have it all figured out either, and it's a good thing that we don't. It's a good thing that we don't, because we need God's grace to continue to pour into us. But remain humble. Remain humble, as Paul says. Remain humble as you study God's word. Remain humble as you pray this week and as you pray next week and next month. Remain humble in your prayer life. Remain humble as you equip others. And remain humble as you are yourself equipped. Right? Remain humble for the sake of the gospel this morning. And remain humble for your family, so that they can see humility modeled in a God-honoring way. So God's word calls us to be humble. Be humble as Christ was humble. Be humble. Back to verse 1, it says this. So if there is any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit and affection and sympathy. So it is, you know, it's a fair statement to say that, you know, all of us like to be encouraged in some way. We just do. You know, for some of us, coming and worshiping with other believers is desperately what we need after a long week of troubles and struggles. We're glad to be here, and this is our encouragement. You know, some of us may need encouragement with our jobs. You know, we're already dreading going in on tomorrow morning to whatever our job is. Some of us may need encouragement with our families. We're really concerned and heartbroken over our son, our granddaughter, or whatever the case may be, our husband, our wife. You know, some of us are really concerned and need encouragement with just our family life situations. You know, somebody's ill, you know, somebody's moving away, you know, whatever life throws at us, we need encouragement. We need encouragement. So remember that Christ is full of encouragement and that it's very important to the health and life of a believer. How many of us remember Barnabas from Paul and Barnabas in the New Testament? The same Barnabas that went on the missionary journeys with Paul. We all remember him, right? So Barnabas's main, you know, gift, I guess you could say, that he was excellent at, that God used him in tremendous ways, is he was an encourager. You know, the name Barnabas literally means son of encouragement. Son of encouragement. So be an encourager today through Jesus. You know, make sure your words and your speech build bridges instead of put up walls. Be an encourager today. So as we think about, you know, again, our core values, I'm going to unpack them a little bit, and I'm going to hopefully offer a little bit of encouragement in regards to what the core values can do for you, for me, and for our church corporately this morning. So that's what we're going to do. So Tony, if you want to go back to the core values, thank you, all right? So the first one would be God's word of the Bible, all right? And we can see here it says, we value God's word as a catalyst for transformative change. There's a lot to that with the, I think the key words being there, transformative change. And you know, God's word of the Bible, this is one of those spiritual disciplines this morning, you know, that definitely takes practice. And I always have trouble saying this word, so I'm going to be very focused on saying it. Intentionality. It takes a lot of intention and intentionality to be able to get in a good routine so that you are in God's word, studying and reading and meditating on. You know, speaking for myself, I know that when, you know, I have a clear-cut routine of when I'm in God's word, it seems like, you know, my day is much more smoother, joy-filled, happy, productive than when I am not in God's word. I just know. This week, while I was at the hospital, I spoke with a gentleman who attends a different church here in the area, and he told me, he says, "Hey, you know what? I'm really struggling with my faith. I don't know what it is." He was in his 80s. He's like, I'm really struggling. What can I do? So as I was talking with him and visiting with him for a while, I said, you know what? Keep Jesus at the focal point. And we kind of went back and forth, and he's like, you know, that's good. He said, but yeah, I kind of felt like he needed something more. So I went down to my office, and I just, you know, printed off 15 or 20 different scripture passages from God's word that talk specifically about having a big faith and what that looks like. So I told him, I gave him this, it looked like, I kind of blew it up because he said he had a hard time reading, his eyes weren't as good, so it was felt like a big stack of papers that I gave to him. It was just scripture verses. I said, hey, read through this week, and, you know, meditate on this, read through this, and I know that if you do this, you know, God will give you the grace to have a big faith. So, you know, I hope that he will. I hope that he'll do that. But God's word as encouragement. So remember, and Tony, and I don't have these scriptures up here. You can write these down. I'm going to have a few more that I'm just going to read. You can write them down if you want and look at them at a later time. But Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 says this, "For the word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit and of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart." So as you read, as you study, as you meditate on God's word, you know, we want our church to do that. But when you're in your own private time, in your own private life, do that. Let God's word poke and prod and encourage you and others that you talk with. Let God's word encourage you so that your relationship with Christ is stronger. We want to be a church that focuses on God's word. Number two would be prayer. All right, prayer. You know, again, this is one of those spiritual disciplines this morning that takes practice and intentionality to actually accomplish, right? So just a quick plug for this series. Everything is online. So, you know, go to lovetiffin.org. You can hop under the sermon series. And the you know, my favorite sermon from this series was the January 14th sermon on prayer. And when at the beginning I made a joke about the other one being 26 minutes long. This one is 59 minutes long or something like that. So if you have 59 minutes, you know, load that up. And, you know, that was by far my favorite sermon of this series is prayer. So I'm not going to be able to say, you know, a quarter of that here in the next 2 minutes. But go back and listen to that. You know, I promise you, you'll be greatly blessed if you listen to that. But this morning, be a believer that's praying. We want to have a praying church. Pray for your family and your church and your job and your relationships. Just be praying. Be praying. Ephesians 6, verse 18 says, "Praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints." So God's word says, be praying. Be praying. You know, prayer is a very powerful resource for the believer, right? It says, you know, God's word is full of scripture that says, pray without ceasing, pray. So you can encourage others by praying for them, pulling them and said, hey, what can I pray for you this week? You know, how can I be praying for you? Let's pray together. Pray. Number three, equipping. So again, kind of going back to this mindset, but if you've ever been a part of a board or a finance board of a church specifically, you will know that a church operates much differently than a normal business would. It's just as simple as that. You know, we are not selling any goods or services to make a profit and to keep our doors open. That's not what the church is supposed to do. So, you know, whether you're retired or still working, you know, the company, the business, or whatever you did for your job or whatever you're doing now, you know, hopefully they are doing their job to equip you at your job. We want our jobs, whatever you guys, is your work to do, to equip you guys. That's our job to do as the church. Myself, Jesse, the elders, the Sunday school teachers, those in leadership, we want to make sure that we are equipping you for ministry, and that you can then take that equipping and pour into other people while doing the same thing, while being also being willing and able and ready to be equipped yourself. Because again, we don't have it all figured out. I certainly don't have it all figured out. We want to make sure that we are equipping you. We want to make sure that we do a very good job of that, because there's a lot at stake. And by God's grace, you know, we're going to have a tremendous year of growth and equipping, and we want to make sure that we're reaching our community. But in order to do that, we need to be equipped. It's kind of that same idea of equipment, right? We go to work, we need to have our equipment. Last month, I made a carpet ball table for my kids, and it involved large pieces of wood and some heavy machinery, bolts, and that kind of stuff to get this thing together. And if I didn't have my miter saw at home, and if I didn't have my circular saw at home, it would not get done. I needed the right equipment. So we wanted to make sure that you guys are equipped and ready to do ministry. And that was number three, equipping. Equipping. Actually, you know what? Let me back up real quick before I move on. It says Hebrews 13, 20 verses 20 and 21 says this. Now may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, equip you with everything good that you may do his will, working in us that which is pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ. To him be glory forever and ever. So our goal as UBC is to be equipped and to do the equipping. So that why? So that God's will can be accomplished. God's will can be accomplished. Number four, the gospel. The gospel. You know, the good news of Jesus that radically changes and transforms lives for the sake of Christ and his kingdom. You know, we want this to be a high priority, core value. Just because, you know, so many in our culture, you know, get the idea of the gospel all wrong. We want to make sure that we're right and solid and sound on this. You know, I guess real quickly here, it's just kind of in our Constitution, statement of faith. But, you know, we would affirm that Jesus was born of a virgin and lived a sinless life, and he was the Messiah sent to save the world from their sins because of his great love for us. And because of that message, he was sentenced to a cruel death on the cross, you know, where he took on the punishment for mankind. Then rose again on the third day and defeated sin and Satan and proved that he was God. He was God. So we owe everything to Jesus, the gospel. 1 John 4:10, in this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loves us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. 2 Corinthians 5:21, for our sake he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. So, you know, when I teach our Students United group, you know, I tell them, guys, please remember that God is still changing and transforming lives. So never give up hope, never give up sight for the sake of Jesus and the gospel. It's still happening, and we need to be aware of that. And also, if there is kind of one general idea in Christianity as a whole over the last 20 years or so, it would be the idea of the gospel. Because God's word, there are you know, many valuable resources on the gospel that can speak truth and clarity and hope. So, you know, if you're thinking, man, I just need to know a little bit more about that, I believe, actually, if my memory serves me correct, that one of our books on the resource table is What is the Gospel, right? I believe that is out there, or at least it was at one time. It may have gotten swapped out. But if there's many, many resources on that besides God's Word that hones in on that. So affirming that and knowing that is vital to the health of our church. So be encouraged by the gospel, because the gospel, you know, if you're a believer in Jesus, has transformed and changed your life and have given you hope. Number five, you know, family or connections is where we're at here. And this was from last week's message, I believe. And, you know, our church wants to reach people with the gospel. So I'm adding just a little bit to that this morning, not much. But we want to make sure that we are reaching people. And equipping is a part of that. Equipping is helping to reach. So a big piece to our vision and our hope and our prayer is to reach emerging generations. Nothing new. We've talked about that on Sundays for many months. But we want to make sure that we're reaching kids and teens and families, because in the sense of everything, you know, they are the next 5, 10, 15, 20, 25 years, so on down the line. So when by the time I'm retired, you know, I want my kids to have to that be the generation where they're pouring into their kids, right? We want to have a big picture so that we are equipping them. We want to have emergent generations to reach them, to equip them, to train them for the sake of Jesus, right? That's one aspect. Now, in regards to the family and the community piece that we talked about last week in here within our church, you know, we want a culture of believers in here that truly love and care for one another. You know, we want, you know, you guys out here and myself as a part of that, if I were just sitting right there, to have strong and meaningful relationships with each other. Why? Because God's word commands it. You know, having common interests helps, you know, things like that. But we want to make sure that the common thing that brings us together is the saving grace of Jesus. And that's what we're here for. So we want to make sure that we have true, loving relationships. So just a part of that, again, is equipping. But how does that work? So older family and folks pour into the younger family and folks. Younger family and folks, you know, however you want to classify yourself as well, too, is totally fine. I'm not going to make any judgments or put people in camps. But younger family and folks pour into the older family and folks. You know, we want to have a healthy community of believers. You know, we need Christ and our community for a healthy church, for a healthy church. So are you willing to kind of reach out and make those connections with others, So, you know, as we kind of think about that, Bible, prayer, equipping, gospel connections. You know, that's our core values. And all of this is rooted in encouragement, from God's word. You know, without the Holy Spirit, you know, encouraging us as believers this morning, you know, these things would be very daunting, thinking, oh, man, I've got to read the Bible this week. I've got to pray this week. Who am I going to equip? How am I going to be equipped? You know, how am I going to live the gospel? How am I going to connect with people? That's a lot to do, and I get that. But by God's grace, we're going to make strides to do that, and we're going to do that well, not in our own strength, but by God's help. You know, don't be discouraged. Be encouraged. Again, I know it's a lot because God has called all of us, if you're a believer in Jesus, for a much higher purpose. Remember, and I tell the kids this as well, you know, God's ways are always much higher than our own. Can't always explain that, or it's hard to comprehend, but God's ways are higher than our own. So as we begin to close this morning, you know, Paul tells the Philippian church in verse 2, so if you want to go back to the passage there, God's word says this, "Complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind." You know, Paul is, he's not questioning or implying that the Philippians aren't smart or that they're having some sort of intelligence concerns to be of the same mind. But he's saying, you know, use your gifts. Use your diverse gifts in an agreeable, helpful way with the sole purpose of glorifying God and his church. Use your gifts. And by God's grace, that's what we're going to strive to do. We're going to use our gifts for the betterment of Jesus and his church. That's what we want to do, you know, starting forever, but really being intentional about that. You know, we want to have a vibrant church that is healthy, that loves people and loves God. Core values. So let's take that this seriously and passionately and put effort behind it. You know, let's try to learn everything that we need to learn, you know, because again, we don't have it all figured out. We just don't. You know, we want to make sure that we're focusing on God's word, that our lives are built on prayer, that we're equipping others, you know, that we're solid on the gospel, that our message stays strong, and that our connections are healthy and real and authentic. Why? Because God's word, number one, core value number one, commands us to be like that. Be like that. Use your gifts for his glory. And again, the underlying purpose there is stay humble when you do that. You know, God has given you a lot of different gifts. And I'm you know, when those are put to use and put into practice, I am thankful that God has blessed you with that kind of stuff. Whatever gift may be, but stay humble. Stay humble. Keep working. Keep striving. And depend on Jesus to help to even give you a greater gift, whatever that may be. All right? Because we serve a big God that's still living and active and powerful and very real and still alive. And that's what we're launching towards, you know, even now as we celebrate Easter. We serve a big God that is alive and well. So as we wrap all this up and we think about this, you know, where can you serve? Where can you serve? Where can you get involved in? be praying, you know, use your gifts and talents in a mighty way. You know, maybe you're, again, maybe you're sitting on it, you know, sitting on your talent. I hope not, and I pray that's not the case, but in essence, get off the sidelines, get off the bench, you know, so to speak, and get involved and get ready to jump in, because there's a lot to do, and, you know, God can use us as tools to do what we need to do for the sake of Christ and his kingdom. So, if you're here today as well, and as last thing, I've spoken a lot about core values, Jesus, things that we want to accomplish in our church, and you're thinking, man, this makes zero sense to me at all. I know nothing about that. You know, my prayer is that the Holy Spirit would reach down and convict you and to change you and to transform your life, and that God's Spirit would be even working in you now to see your need of repentance and faith in Jesus. So that's what we want. We want to have a church that's healthy, that's focused on Jesus, and we want to make sure that everyone here is fully equipped to do the job that God has called you to do.